Tonight, we're going to continue preaching on the transformational power of the gospel. And I recognize that we're having social distancing and there is not a full auditorium of people here right now. In fact, I'm preaching to an empty auditorium. But I want to say something to you. I'm going to preach in these next few moments as if this auditorium was packed and jammed, and I want you to listen as though you were on the front row, because I believe God has something for us from His Word each and every time His Word is open. So take your Bible right now, turn to the book of Philippians if you would. If you haven't done it already, maybe text a friend and say, hey, pastor's getting ready to preach, jump on, join with us. We're going to learn tonight about the gospel manifested through us, Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And follow with me as I read these wonderful, wonderful verses from Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. I want you to think about the truth of Scripture tonight, that it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The beginning of the Christian life is something that happens in a moment's time, whenever you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But the process of growth is something that is a lifetime process. God has a plan for you from the time that you're saved until the time that He calls us home, and I believe that's coming very soon. And He wants us through this time to be living out what He put into us at the moment of our salvation. Romans 12, 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the word transformed describes a renovation. God is going to be working on us from the inside out, from the time that we are saved until the time that He calls us home. Now, in this chapter, Philippians chapter 2, we have already learned that Jesus Christ emptied Himself of the prerogatives of His deity. He set aside His will, and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He never laid aside His deity. He never stopped being God. But we learn that Jesus Christ humbled Himself and provided salvation for each and every one of us. But when we come to verse 12, we see a very important word. We're going to study it here in just a moment, the word wherefore. And we see the implications of the gospel here. We see how it affects us. We learn that what happened on the old rugged cross is not just an historical moment to study and say, wow, that's amazing, but it's a transformational experience for us all the days of our Christian life. John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, said, I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I thank God I am not what I once was, and I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am. In other words, the Christian life is a journey, and we are to be transformed throughout this journey into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice three truths with me tonight regarding the implications of our salvation. I want you to notice, first of all, that there is a command to work, a command to work. Now, don't turn off your television or your device right now, and you say, well, I do enough work 5 days a week. I don't want to hear about it now. I want you to understand the distinctive difference of Christian living in the context of verse 12. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, the command to work begins with an inner resolution. And stay with me now. here's the resolution. He says, wherefore, all right, what's he going back to? He's going back to what Jesus did. He who was in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, took upon himself no reputation, became obedient to the death of the cross. Since Jesus did that, so everything that I do for Jesus is based upon what he has done for me. It is based upon the fact that I am in Christ and he is in me. He became obedient for me. He died for me. So my resolution to work, my resolution to serve is based upon the cross. It is not based upon my mother's hope that I do this. It is not based upon my father's hope that I do this or the pastor's hope that I'm a good boy. All of us as leaders and spiritual mentors have high hopes for our children, our congregation. But we should not do the work of the gospel in the light of what someone would expect other than from the heart of thankfulness to the Lord for what he has done. You know, one of the great goals of our lives is to see our children fall in love with Jesus. Now, we have guidelines. I spoke about that a moment ago to the fathers, and we give them direction. We expect that. But we're hopefully helping them to have a heart for God, an understanding of God, an appreciation for what he did on the cross, the wherefore in their life. Why are you giving that money? Well, because of what Jesus gave to me. Well, why are you abstaining from that bad lifestyle or those sins? Well, because of what Jesus did for me. Well, why is it that you are witnessing? Well, it's because of what Jesus did for me. That's the wherefore. We're to work out our own salvation. That's what God has put into us. We do not serve to get brownie points. I love what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. You see, we ought to serve the Lord, not to gain brownie points, not to gain some kind of value from him. He could never value you more. He died on the cross for you. He loved you before you were saved, and he loves you now. And you see, friend, he doesn't love you conditionally based upon what you do. And so the Bible teaches that the command to work is not a command to somehow earn merit with God, but it's the opposite. It's since he's done so much for you, then why not live for him? And there's nothing tonight in your life that could not be cured by falling in love with Jesus Christ again and realizing what he has done for you. And rather than having self-thought or having thought of pleasing those around us, just being grateful for what's going on inside of us through Jesus Christ. Now, this inner resolution, it is a resolution that comes from a people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says, wherefore, my beloved. Paul used this term that describes his love for them and their love for God. These were loving Christians. They had imperfections, but they were a people that were obedient because of their love. They were a persistent people in their obedience. He says in verse number 12, notice this in your Bible. He says that ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. In other words, even though Paul is writing this from a Roman prison, he says, you know, you have been so faithful even while I've been gone. And many times that's the test of where a young person is spiritually. When they get out on their own, do they still go to church? Do they still read their Bible? Do they still witness? Or is that something that only happens in the structured confinements of home? And you see, God is showing us here with the Philippians that they had something real going on. They really appreciated what Jesus did because they were consistent, whether the apostle was right there or not. They were consistent in fulfilling these wonderful spiritual outgrowths. And so they were always obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether they were having the tutelage of someone over them or whether they were alone, they were faithful. I heard about a woman that walked into a baker's shop and she said to the baker, she said, I sent my son in here for 2 pounds of cookies. And she said, when I weighed them, there was only 1 pound in the bag that he picked up. The baker was very calm and he looked at the woman and he said, now, ma'am, he said, are you telling me that you left your son alone with 2 pounds of cookies? I suggest that you weigh your son. Now, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I don't know that any of us could be left with 2 pounds of cookies or fudge or whatever your weakness is. The fact of the matter is there might be a little bit taken away. And Paul said this of the church at Philippi. He said that whether I'm watching you with your bag of cookies or whether I'm away from you, you have consistently shown that you're doing what you do, not because I'm there, but because you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And we pray for our seniors that are graduating. And we pray for our teens. And I pray for you as adults that we, during this time that COVID has us a little bit spread apart, that we would not be the kind of church that just does the right thing because pastor's around or the teacher's around. That we're not motivated simply by trying to gain some value or impress someone else. But that whether we're together or whether we're absent, that we are growing in Christ and working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, let's do it with joy. Let's not be mumbling about the society or the terrible laws or the Supreme Court. Hey, I know that this nation is changing, but that doesn't change one iota the work that God has called me to do. He wants me to get up tomorrow and pray and read my Bible and be faithful to worship and pray and love Him. And I'm glad that that's an inward motivation. It's not something dependent upon the outward circumstances, or we would all quit, but it's because Jesus Christ has been faithful to me. And if He went to the cross for me, then I can be faithful to Him this week. That's the motivation. That's the motivation. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. And so He gives a compliment to the Philippians here, and He says to them, He says, you have been faithful to this command to work. But then He also gives them this command, and I want you to see it in verse 12. He says here, work out your own salvation, all right? Now say that with me if you can right now. Work out your own salvation. Now, anybody that knows the Bible doctrine knows that salvation is not by works. So He's not saying to them, work for your salvation. He's saying, work out your salvation, that which was placed inside of you. Now, it's a command, and for some of us, those words, work out, make us nervous, right? Some of the gyms are beginning to open now, and they're calling you back. They want you to get back in shape, and you're like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to work out. But the Bible's telling us that we're to continually to be living out what God put into us. What did He put into us? Well, His Holy Spirit, the ability to praise, the ability to forgive. He put into us His Word, and He's saying, I want to see that come out from your life. Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Salvation begins with justification. Yes, we are declared righteous by Jesus Christ, but sanctification is an ongoing process whereby that which was placed into me is shown to a lost and dying world. And yes, it is shown through a life that is holy or separate. It is shown through a life that is serving or helpful. It is shown through the way that Jesus Christ develops us by His grace, and we live for Him. Ephesians 4 and 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. One day we'll be like Him. But until then, we want to grow in His likeness. And so there's a command to work. And there's a caution in this work. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean I'm like scared of God all the time? No. It means that I have a holy awe and respect of Him. It is to practice the presence of God. Now, church member, let me ask you a question. And friends from around the world watching this, let me ask you this question. Do you live your life in the awareness of the presence of God? Because we don't just meet God at church. We sure do meet God at church. But we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That is, we are to live out the Christian life with the awareness of His presence. He's with us everywhere. He's with us all the time. Whether Paul the Apostle was there, whether your pastor or parents are there, God is always there. He is omnipresent. And we're to have fear and trembling or an awe, an awesome respect. The Bible says in Proverbs 1 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, this United States of America, many years ago, took the Ten Commandments out of the public schools. They disallowed prayer in the public schools. They disallowed the name Christ. Most public schools do not even allow the song, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." They don't want to hear the name of the Lord. Now, when you take out the very thought of God from this society, then there is no awe or fear or respect of a higher power. Now everything becomes relative. You want to throw a chair through a window. You want to take what you think is deserving of you. You want to treat others poorly. It doesn't matter because there's no higher power. But with that higher power living in you, you can live a different life, and you do it with awe and respect of God. Why don't we steal? Because we have a great awe for our God, and we don't want to hurt His testimony. Why is it that we love our neighbor irrespective of their background or culture? Because God is in us and He loves all people, and we're going to love all people with fear and trembling, reverencing unto God. Whether your husband deserves that love, whether your neighbor deserves that love, is not the point. The point is that God loved you when you were not deserving. And I don't care what your background, I don't care what your gender, what your race, you and I are not deserving of the love of God, and He gave it anyways, and we are to love one another with fear and trembling of Almighty God, because one day you're not going to stand before me or your spouse or your neighbor. You're going to stand before God, my friend. And we want to live our life as though God is in the midst, because He is. And so we see a great command here. It's a command to work, but not just to go do a task of lists for God. That's not what is implied here. What is implied is that we go to the cross. And remember that word, wherefore. And since Jesus loves others, I want to love others. And since Jesus was faithful, I want to be faithful. Since He gave, I want to give, and so forth. And so the command to work. Notice, secondly, the companion that we have in the work. Now notice our companion here in verse 13. The Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you." Let's say that together. "For it is God which worketh in you." Now that's pretty awesome. Let me ask you this question. Is He working in you? Is God working in you? I don't know what you need to do. Look, I can't write a little list and tell you what to do this week. I know some major principles from the Bible that every Christian should do, and we're trying to get back to assembling, and very, very patient with those of you with underlying conditions and health concerns. I understand that. But just as soon as we're able, one of the things we are commanded to do is not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I like that word, together. Right now, we're not all together, but that's something I know that we're supposed to do, and I know that we're supposed to love one another, and I know that we're supposed to read the Bible, study to show thyself approved unto God. There are some basic things, but I can't give you a list of every little thing. I can just tell you this. It is God that worketh in you. It's God that's going to guide you. God's going to tell you when to take a pie to your neighbor, or when to take your son out fishing, or when to take your daughter for a Coca-Cola and tell her that you love her. It is God that's trying to work in you. The question is He working in you? Listen, it's God that wants you to be kind to your wife and forgiving to your husband. It's God that wants to work in you, but it's you that must allow Him to work. And so it is God that worketh in you. He's the companion in our lives. You see, the Christian life is lived from the inside out. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You see, the Holy Spirit is within us, and He's crying out through us to the Father to do the will of the Father. And so we see that this companion is God Himself. It is God that worketh in you, and He wants us to do the work of God, and He energizes us to do His work. The word here, worketh in you, is the Greek word energeo. It means He's going to give you the energy. Do you know that I prayed today that God would give me energy to preach this sermon? I pray that God gives me energy each day, divine energy and unction, so that my response, whether it's in helping someone, talking to someone, preaching, is not just the response of the flesh, but that is the response of God, that I'm saying and doing what God would have me to do. I want God to work through me today. I cannot live the Christian life on my own. I can't give the right answers. I can't have the right attitude. But with God working in me, it's all possible. He works in us. John 15 is the key passage. Some of you ought to read John 15 this week. I said some of you ought to read John 15 this week, okay? So here it is, John 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, and except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Listen to this. And without me ye can do nothing. Now, so many people have said, boy, during this COVID, I don't have as much to do, but I'm more tired than ever. I think it's a lot of emotional stress, perhaps. Whatever it is, it feels real. And we feel like I just can't do it all, right? And some of us are thinking, man, how did I ever go to church so much and work so much? And how did I get it all done? Well, let me tell you something. We can't get it all done, but if you're abiding in Christ, He'll give you the energy. He'll give you the energy. Oh, what a blessed thought that He would abide in us. I have a garden this year at home, and I've planted some watermelon, and I planted some squash and some cucumbers and some radishes and tomatoes. And I'm going to tell you something. Without water here in the desert, that garden won't last 3 days, right? Oh, the nutrients that come through the water and through the soil. And you see, we cannot survive without Him working in us and through us. And so He is the vine. We are the branches. John chapter 15. Oh, we need to remember it. Warren Wiersbe wrote it this way. He said, the principle that Paul laid down is this. God must work in us before He can work through us. That's why we need church and LBCLive.TV. We need God to work in us if we're going to make it this week. And so Wiersbe said, God must work in us before He can work through us. Too many Christians obey God only because of pressure on the outside and not power on the inside. Oh, how I pray. I want to keep the standards high, the expectations real. I want us to be a great church, but I don't want us to do what we do simply because the church expects something. No, no, no. I want it to be from the inside out that we serve and give and live and attend. Why? Because when God is at work, it's so much more powerful. And it's so much more beautiful. God embraces us, and there must be a relationship with Him. Hebrews 13 and 21, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Let Him work that in you. This is the work of God. And the way that God will do this work is through His word, John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It is through His Spirit that He will do this work. And sometimes God does His work through even trials. And let me just pause here to say that when it says, it is God that worketh in you, sometimes it takes a trial before we really experience the touch of God. Now, turn in your Bible for just a moment to James chapter 1. Can you do that? Come on, put your Cheerios aside, right? Whatever you're eating tonight, your spaghetti, put the bowls aside and turn your Bible to James chapter 1. Notice what this verse says, James 1, 3. It says this, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, these are some of my favorite verses, so let me pause right here. God says that trials are going to work patience and that we must let patience have its perfect work. In other words, we need to allow the process of COVID-19. Why? So that we may be perfect. And the word perfect means mature. And none of us have arrived. None of us have arrived. So God says, some of you, without a trial, you just go through your job, you get your paycheck, you do your thing, you think you've got it all made. But God says, wait a minute, I'm going to bring a trial into your life to mature you more, and it's going to take a little while, but I want you to be patient and let my work complete in you. In other words, one of the ways that God does His work, yes, prayer, yes, the Bible, but even this trial is a way that God's trying to get your attention so that you'll have a personal, inner working walk with Him. And so we're thankful for this time. So we see the command to work out your own salvation. We see our companion in the work. It is God that worketh in you. Notice thirdly, the completion of the work, the completion of the work. Now come back if you would to verse 13. It says, for it is God which worketh in you, notice this now, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. both to will and to do. All right, say that with me. Both to will and to do. To will and to do. Those are both separate battles. Sometimes we don't have the will to read the Word of God. Sometimes we don't have the will to apologize to someone. We don't seem to have the desire to pass out a tract. That's going to take God to get us up off the seat of our spiritual pants and to put the will within our heart. That's why I'm already praying about a revival meeting in January. I'm praying, God, get rid of this COVID and let us just pack the house out and come down and work in our hearts. Why? Because God can put a will in us to do His work. It is God that giveth you the will. He gives you both the will and He gives you the ability. So notice, first of all, God gives the desire. The word will, Greek word thelo, speaking of a resolve or determination. And God will give you that will. And then secondly, God will give you the ability, it says, to do. Again, the same word, energeo. He says, I'm gonna help you do it. Now, we have folks in our church, as I said earlier, with underlying conditions health-wise. We have folks with long commutes. We have folks with spouses that travel. I mean, there's pressure on every family. It's different. And be careful that the devil doesn't make you think, well, I'm the only one with a bad neighbor situation. I'm the only one that has an underlying condition. I'm the only one and nobody understands and I need extra space. I'm just going to tell you, everybody's having a hard time right now. Everyone has a tough time. But God says, I've got energy for everyone. Energeo. I'm going to give you the will to do what I have called you to do. And what He specifically says here is my good pleasure. Notice that the will and to do, He's going to give you both the will and to do of His good pleasure. So here it is tomorrow morning. Here we go. Based upon the text, Philippians chapter 2. Lord, You have died on the cross for me. Wherefore then? I ask You based upon what You've done for me, not based upon what pastor says. I don't want to go to Bible college because someone else wants me to. And by the way, you have no more or less value if you go to Bible college. You have no more or less value if you give certain amounts of money. You don't do things to gain God's acceptance. That's not the core issue here. You get up in the morning and say, Lord, You have died for me. And wherefore, how do You want me to serve You today? And I know that You're going to work through me today. So my service might be at Northrop. My service might be at Lancaster Baptist Church. My service might be in some way or another. But whatever it is, God, this is what I want. I want Your good pleasure. So you say this, Lord, how can I bring pleasure to You today? How can I bring pleasure to You today? Now, if you just think about this logically and spiritually as well, I don't think spending 8 hours watching soap operas gives God a lot of pleasure. You know what I'm saying? If you live your life with this thought of, how can I just bring pleasure to the Lord? It kind of begins to prioritize your life. God gets pleasure out of you raising your family for Him. God gets pleasure out of you singing praises to Him. God gets pleasure out of seeing His people worship and serve. And God gets pleasure when we are sweet and kind. God says, I'm going to give you the will to be this, and I'm going to do the work to help you become that. Because I know in your own self, you're lethargic. And in your own self, sometimes you hold bitterness. And in your own self, you make excuses. So God says, I'm going to give you the will and I'm going to give you the energy to do my good pleasure. Richard Baxter said, this life was not intended to be the place of our perfection, but the preparation for it. In other words, by the time God calls us home, and I'm praying, the Bible says we're to be looking for that blessed hope. By the time that God calls us home, I'm praying that we will be much more like Him. And if that means COVID, and if that means difficulty in society so that we pray more, whatever it means, God knows. He's God. And God says, I want you to be more like Me when I come to take you home. And so here we have today a wonderful challenge. Here we see that God is calling us to join Him, and He's saying, I want you to join me in a gospel manifestation. I want your life to be the living testimony of My presence in you. I don't want you doing things because of external pressure. I want you doing things and living the Christian life because of what I did for you and what I have placed in you internally. There's a command to work out your own salvation. There's a companion working with you, for it is God that worketh in you. And there's a completion. He says, I'm going to give you the will and I'm going to help you get it done. Aren't you glad that we have a God who wants to help us in that way? Oh, in the summertime, I think about driving that Ryder truck down here, and I think about all the work that we've done for 34 years, and I think of unpacking that truck and preaching to that first group of 12 people and having them ask me to be their pastor. And, you know, I've done a lot of work physically and a lot of different things, but the longer I'm here, the more I realize without the touch of God, none of it would have ever happened. And sometimes we could say these things have happened despite us, that God has done these things through us as we've tried to be yielded. Let's remain yielded to Him. Maybe you're here right now and you've kind of lost your will to be faithful to the Lord. Oh, friend, would you ask Him and say, Lord, I know You're within my heart. Help me from a heart of gratitude with Your love constraining me. Give me the desire and give me the energy to be the father, the husband, the wife, the mother, to be the Christian that You've called me to be. Some of you need to pray that right this moment. God, I want to do Your pleasure this week. I want to bring pleasure to You. Would you take a moment and ask God to get pleasure through your life this week as you serve Him from the inside out? And if you don't know God and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you're just not sure about whether He's in your life or living through you, did you know that God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin, to shed His blood, that blood became a covering for you? That because our sin is covered, you can be declared righteous by God Almighty when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. God says, if you've received my Son, your sins are covered. You have my righteousness imputed, and you are my child. And that is the new birth, and that is salvation. And if you would like to know more about salvation and what it means to be saved, please contact us here at the emails and numbers on the screen. If you've been hearing the gospel message and you realize tonight that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for your sin and you need to call upon Him and ask Him to be your Savior, then I would encourage you to do that right now. Just simply say to the Lord something like this: Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I turn to You as a sinner. I turn to You now as the perfectly sinless one. I ask You, Lord Jesus, based upon what You did at Calvary, to come into my life, forgive my sin, and be my Savior. If you as a sinner would call upon the Lord to be your Savior with a heart of sincerity, if you'll confess with your mouth that you believe this in your heart, you will be saved. And I encourage you to pray that even now and say, Lord Jesus, I turn to You alone and ask You to forgive my sin and to be my Savior. And if you've prayed that prayer just now, why don't you email us and tell us? We'll send you some material that will help you in your Christian life as well. Well, I pray that this week, the Christian life will be lived from the inside out, that the gospel will be manifested through us, and that we together will come to the Lord in the morning, wherever we are in our homes, and just say, Lord, today, I want You to give me the will and the strength because I want to bring You good pleasure because You are a great God. Until we meet again, may God bless you. Have a great week living the Christian life from the inside out.